When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another edition of the FFSN NFL Draft Preview Show. My name is Jeremy Betts, joined as always by my good buddy Andrew Wilbar to talk all things NFL Draft. Right now we're doing our draft breakdowns. A couple weeks ago we did the AFC and NFC Norths. Now last week we did the AFC and NFC East divisions. And this week we're going to be covering the South divisions in both conferences. And Andrew, let's start with the AFC South, where had a surprise team finish atop the division after an incredible draft and really good coaching, made a run in the playoffs as well. And actually a division that turned out to be a lot better than many were given credit for to start last year. And let's talk about where they sit now, starting with the Houston Texans. But before we do, Andrew, a general synopsis of this division heading into the draft.
It's an interesting division, Jeremy, because you got four young quarterbacks. Nobody in this division is looking at drafting a new one. They're all invested trying to go all in with their current quarterbacks. Each team has their own set of needs, and we'll get into those. But it's going to be an interesting division just in the fact that they have the flexibility to move up and down the draft boards, unlike most other divisions that have specific needs and specific holes in areas. This division did a pretty good job of addressing major holes they had. But these are teams that could ideally trade down if they find viable trade partners in the draft and be able to get back some good compensation.
Yeah, the Texans already did that, Andrew, by sending their first-round pick, pick 23, to the Minnesota Vikings in an exchange. So the Texans don't have a first-round pick. They're actually picking first at number 42 overall in the second round. And let's start with them because they did win the division last year. They were the surprise team. They found their quarterback of the future. They found a defensive cornerstone in their and Will Anderson, their rookie defensive end, and made some moves. Re-signed Noah Brown, brought back Dalton Schultz, and then acquired Joe Mixon in a trade with the Bengals. That was probably their biggest move, other than signing edge Danielle Hunter on a two-year, $49 million deal, bringing him in to replace Grenard, who is actually now a Minnesota Viking. So kind of a swap there of former players. And then an underrated signing that I really liked, Andrew, was linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair from the rival Titans. A great signing, in my opinion, a player that can come in and give them quality snaps at linebacker. This is a team, Andrew, that's going to be building off of their success last year, way ahead of schedule on the rookie quarterback timeline. Where do they go in this draft, especially without having a first round pick?
I'm looking at the offensive line for them. They have a lot of holes on the interior of the line. They have some guys that have played limited time there, but there's not a bunch of experience on the interior of the line. They have a couple developmental guys, but nothing really set in stone there. And some of the guys that they have previously tried out, they just never reached their full potential. I'm looking at guys in the second round. And by the way, the second round is a great opportunity for them to cash in on this decent interior offensive line class. You're going to have some good guards at that spot. I'm thinking a guy like Zach Zinter, who's still my number two guard in the draft, behind Troy Faotanu. He's still my number two guard. And if not for the injury, I think he would go much higher than what he's actually going to. But there's other guys there. Cooper Beebe is another guy that a lot of people are high on out of Kansas State. Guy who's got a good feet for a guy who's that big, that size. He's got some power. He can get to the second level. There's some guys that could really be of help to the Texans. I think of a guy like Cedric Van Praan, a guy who's flown under the radar over the last couple months and didn't test as well as what many people expected, but still tested well overall relative to most other centers. Most centers would love to have the day that he had. But I'm just looking at the options they have, and I think you've got to go interior offensive line first. Maybe you double down on it. They could afford to add two pieces there. But if they're looking for another spot, I think this is the sweet spot for a safety, maybe with their second first-round pick. That's when you could see a guy like a Cole Bishop from Utah come off the board, a versatile safety. Bullard from Georgia, a guy who has some versatility, can come down and play in the slot. There's a lot of options for the Texans, and I think they knew that when they traded away that first-round pick, knowing we may not get, say, a Troy Faletanu or a Jackson Powers Johnson at pick 23, but we can get the next best thing in the second round, and really the difference between the two may not be all that. I get Faletanu is a great prospect and could be an elite, elite guard, but there are other options on day two, and they're not giving up everything, and they're investing something for the future. So it was a solid move on their end. They're still going to be able to come away with two really good players in the second round.
Absolutely, and a team on the rise, and what better way to continue to be on the rise than to protect your most valuable asset in C.J. Stroud, who had a fantastic year last year and is going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league coming into year two here in 2024. Protect him at all costs, I say. The team spent a lot of free agency capital on the secondary, but most of that was at corner. Mike Ford, C.J. Henderson, Lonnie Johnson, Desmond King, and Jeff Okuda all brought in at corner. So kind of felt like to me that they were trying to settle that position in free agency and not have to worry about it early in the draft, but they could still go with a young player at corner at some point in this draft. And don't discount wide receiver either being among their targets. I know that they're going to have some transition there in the next couple years as well, maybe bringing in somebody young, a multi-level threat playmaker in the mold of their current star wide receiver whose name is escaping me right now, Nico Collins. I'm sorry, former Michigan Wolverine. Andrew Wilbar, yeah. Very familiar with him. So yeah, the Texans have a lot that they can do and look to be a team ready to compete again in 2024. Let's move on to the Jacksonville Jaguars, Andrew. A disappointing end to their season, losing out on the playoffs in a final week 18 loss to the Colts. And it was just a disappointing year for them. Had some injuries and kind of fell off down the stretch. But this is a team that has one of those quarterbacks in Trevor Lawrence that you can rely on to be at least above average and sometimes even great. I don't know if he's consistently great like many of us thought he could be at this point in his career, but they did bring in some help around him after losing Calvin Ridley to the Titans. Gabe Davis comes in from Buffalo on a 3-year deal. Devin Duvernay, tight end Josiah DeGuara. And then they did bring in center Mitch Morse and guard Ezra Cleveland along the offensive line to kind of to try to solidify their up front. Ronald Darby comes in on defense. Darnell Savage, some work in the secondary there. Where do the Jaguars go at pick 17, Andrew? Is this locked and loaded for a wide receiver? Could they trade up for a wide receiver? Could they trade back for a wide receiver? Or is there another position here that they could really target?
I think they could trade back for a receiver. They could have decent options where they're picking right now in the first round. In Mock 3.0, which came out on fansfirstsports.com this past week, be sure to go and check it out. I have Brian Thomas Jr. mocking them at 17. I think that might be a little bit high for Brian Thomas, but I don't think it's unfeasible for him to go that high. And he'd be a good complement to what they have with Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis is not a wide receiver one. He's just not. He could be a solid wide receiver two. A change of scenery may be a really good thing for him. And I'm happy for potentially what he could become in Jacksonville and have a little bit more of a consistent role in the passing game. But he's not a number one wide receiver. Christian Kirk, not quite a number one receiver. And Jacksonville's paid a lot of guys in free agency over the past couple of years. And not all of them have worked out. So hopefully this one works out better for Jacksonville than some of the past ones. And, you know, Calvin Ridley had his moments, but he would just be missing in the game plan for, you know, sometimes games at a time. But I think they still need to get a little bit stronger in the trenches, too. You look at offensive tackle. They could afford to add another piece there. Of course, Taylor and other guys that they've had in the past, they've moved on. They're long gone. And they need to add someone. I'm looking on the right side of the line. If for perhaps a J.C. Latham is there, I think he could be a good fit. Olu Fashanu could be another guy. Fa'u Shanu. I've got to start getting these names right now that we're getting close to the draft. Fa'u Shanu. We've got some weird ones. If the Jaguars do wait until day two, I'm going to give you another difficult name to pronounce, but a guy who could be available in the middle of day two for the Jaguars. They could either move up or down depending on what they do in the first round. That is Kingsley Suamaatia. Suamaatia. It's a six-syllable offensive tackle from BYU. He's extremely raw, but he's got all the talent in the world to be a really, really good left tackle. May have the ability to swing over to the right as well. He's a project, but in the right system, we know Doug Peterson knows how to, as it pertains to the offensive line, he knows what he's doing. So I'm excited to see what Jacksonville could do with a guy like him. But they're going to have options again. But I think they need to focus on the offensive side of the ball. You've got to get Trevor Lawrence back on track to what he was projected to be coming out of Clemson. And the only way you're going to do that is by surrounding him with more talent. Etienne's nice. They have some weapons, but they need to get that guy, whether that's Brian Thomas, whether that's someone on day two like a Roman Wilson or a Malachi Corley. They need to get a guy that can develop into a true wide receiver one, not someone from the outside, but someone that they develop from the inside.
I agree. Priority number one has to be setting up Trevor Lawrence for success and making a run on offense. Absolutely. The defense is good. They're not going to blow anybody away. I think they're all right, but there are some needs on that side of the ball. Where would you go, Andrew, if you are maybe attacking some of these sneakier needs on the defensive side of the ball for the Jaguars?
I think they could still use help on the edge, and you know they're not necessarily secured long term at that spot. And Trevon Walker, they're still kind of waiting to see what he is going to fully become for them. So I think they could afford to add a guy. Marshawn Kneeland is a guy I like, could be available in the third round, a guy you can play either defensive end or outside linebacker. He has some versatility. I really like him. If you're looking on the interior of the defensive line, a guy like Chris Jenkins from Michigan could be a good fit in there, a guy who can penetrate and get upfield quick and be able to create penetration even on second and third downs. He's a guy who can stay on the field for all three downs in a 4-3 unit. Not the most schematically versatile, but you can move him around and kick him in and out a little bit. He has some versatility to move within that base defense that Jacksonville has. I think he could be a solid fit. If he happens to fall to round three, thinking more round two at this point, but they will have options, even though it isn't the greatest defensive line class.
Yeah, there's some players. If you need a role player at defensive line, there's some guys that can do that. There's some project players. Mason Smith comes to mind as a long athletic type of defender there. That's going to be probably available mid-day two, late day two. Andrew, at this point, I think it's kind of his range right now, and we'll see if he could be somebody that attracts the Jacksonville Jaguars look. Now, let's say this about the Jaguars. They've been a good run defense the last few years. I think that's probably their strength, and some maybe help at linebacker and in the secondary shouldn't be out of the question for them getting some younger players in. I think a safety could be in mind for this team as well. We'll see how it all plays out for them, but very intriguing. If you're a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, you have to be pretty optimistic about your team, knowing what you have at quarterback and knowing what you could get at wide receiver and along this offensive side of the ball. So I think hopes are high there in Jacksonville. We'll see how it plays out, though, for sure. Let's move on to the Colts. Andrew, another team that kind of surprised us last year with their final record, 9-8, and made a push for the playoffs there. It was a team that, when you look at what they started with in Anthony Richardson and then losing him to injury early on, there's a lot of hype around him. And then you lose Gardner Minshew this offseason. He goes somewhere else. I can't remember where he went to right now, but he's not in town anymore. You've got Joe Flacco coming into town, though, as the backup for Anthony Richardson, and a team with Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman, who re-signs a three-year deal with them. And they did some work on the offensive line, but really attacked on defense, especially up front, Andrew, in free agency. Taven Bryan re-signs. Raekwon Davis assigns to the Colts. Grover Stewart re-signs. Zaire Franklin at linebacker. And then one of my favorite re-signings was bringing back Kenny Moore, the second cornerback, slot cornerback for them, who was one of my favorite slot corners on the free agent market, getting him back in the fold. Where do the Colts need help, Andrew, if they're going to take that next step this year in the draft?
I think they still need another corner on the perimeter. I would still say that is probably their biggest need. As of right now, there's nothing glaring, which should be exciting for Colts fans, because you can kind of use it in some ways as a luxury pick in the first round. If I'm honestly, if I'm in Indianapolis and Brock Bowers falls to 15, I would give a long, hard thought about getting Brock Bowers and giving Anthony Richardson another big target that he can use in the red zone to pair with Josh Downs, to pair with Michael Pittman Jr. Then you have a strong core of weapons. And I think that would be an ideal spot to go. That's what I gave them in mock 3.0. I do think if they decide to go corner there, Terrion Arnold would probably be the best available. I have Quinion Mitchell rated higher. I'm just not sure he falls that far, Jeremy. I think there's a chance he goes top 12, maybe even top 10, depending on the team that is up there taking him. I know we haven't heard as much about him as we've heard about the rise of quarterbacks going up the board. But, man, if Quinion Mitchell was there, that would be an excellent pick for Indianapolis. I'm not sure that happens, though. But Terrion Arnold would be a solid pick at pick 15. I think that's solid value for them. And he's honestly a really good schematic fit for them. We just talk about the feistiness and the aggression on the outside. I think he would be a good complement to a guy like Kenny Moore on the interior. Be a good fit for them. And then if you're looking for someone on day two, I think they could still use an extra linebacker. I don't know if they would go for a Peyton Wilson. They would have to probably move up in the second to go and get him. But if there's another guy that I would say could be that Darius Leonard type guy before Darius Leonard fell off a cliff and changed his name and all of that, I would say that Junior Colson is another guy. And I know we mentioned several Michigan guys in this class, but Junior Colson may be the best tackling linebacker in this class. He's not the most outspoken guy, but he gets the job done, and he's got solid range. He's no Peyton Wilson out there that's going to be run a 4.45, but I think he could have run a 4.55 if he was in the if he would have come to the combine. He could have shocked some people with his athleticism, and he can blitz some too. I think he would be a good fit for Indianapolis if they can get him on day two.
Yeah, and you know, I think that when you talk about this Colts team, they're going to be predicated on running the football. Power game up front with that offensive line. Some of those guys getting a little bit older, making some futures picks for that position makes sense for this team as well. And then Anthony Richardson has to stay healthy. And I know most of his injuries were of his own doing on running plays or taking sacks. And he needs to get a little bit better at that, at avoiding the big hits and taking the punishment that he can. I know he's a big body, but keeping him upright is a big deal. I love Brock Bowers as a potential option here because you start to add in players that can separate and get open quickly and allow him to get the ball out of his hands a little bit faster and better decision-making out of him. More weapons helps you with that. That can help him stay on the field, which will be a huge part of their potential success down the road here as well. Andrew, let's move on to the Tennessee Titans, who finished last in this division. It's kind of an interesting process that we've seen out of them this offseason. They're adding players like they're a contender. I mean, you talk about Calvin Ridley, L'Jarius Sneed in a trade with the Chiefs. Lloyd Cushenberry signs a 4-year, $50 million deal at center. Mason Rudolph comes in as your backup quarterback, so you want somebody with experience behind Will Levis. They're all in on Will Levis, Andrew. And if that's their play, how do they attack this draft?
Well, they not to mention they also brought in Chidobe Awuzie on a 3-year, $36 million deal at corner as well. So they're really focusing on the secondary. I think that's somewhat taken care of, and it was an area they had to address. But if we're looking at the other things that they really need to do, after losing to Nico Autry, you got to get more pass rush help. He was excellent for them last season, one of the few bright spots on that defense. Whether it is on the edge, no matter where, the Titans have to get better there. They also really badly need to add a new left tackle in Tennessee. Nicholas Petit-Frere hasn't really been great. He has some flexibility, can move around some, but they don't have a lot of other – but there's not a whole lot of hope at that position right now for Tennessee. Yeah. And Petit-Frere is still young, but there's not a whole lot else coming up. They need to add someone else. If Joe Alt is there at pick 7, to me, that's a no-brainer. You don't miss up on potentially getting Joe Alt. I don't trade out if Joe Alt is there at 7. I'm staying there and I'm taking him. If he isn't there, I think you trade back. You know, Fautanu, there'd be discussion there about taking him that high, and I'm not saying that would be horrible value, but I think that is the point where you would want to ideally trade back. Maybe a team wants to go up and get someone else. Or if the Titans are set on staying there, if they don't have any other offers to get up and Joe Alt's off the board, go ahead and just take Dallas Turner and get your pass rusher there. Sure. They're going to have options, and they have the chance to probably get the best player at whatever position they're going to take, because they're not going to take a quarterback. They're not going to take a receiver after paying Calvin Ridley all that money this offseason, at least I don't think. So those are going to be pretty much the only positions that could very well be the only two positions that have been taken by the point Tennessee is on the board. Yeah. So they can literally take, in their eyes, what is the best player on their board at pick 7. So that's what makes me think they're probably going to stay put, whether that is for a Joe Alt, whether that is for a Dallas Turner. I think they're going to take one of those two guys, and either way, they're filling a huge need for their team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and it's been mocked to them maybe more than any one player to any one team, Joe Alt to Tennessee. It just makes too much sense. I think that Tennessee's probably going into this process thinking that that is going to be their pick. And I think they'd be very, very disappointed if somehow Alt is off the board before 7, especially when you consider the quarterbacks and the couple wide receivers that are probably going to go before their pick. You never know, though. Some team might get antsy and try to move up ahead of them. And if the quarterbacks are gone, Andrew, the Giants could potentially try to move back out of 6. And if somebody wants to leapfrog the Titans for Joe Alt, that could be the sweet spot for it. So we'll see what they try to do there. It's going to be interesting for the Titans, because if you don't get Alt early, by the time you pick next, that drop-off's pretty steep at left tackle. But also the drop-off's pretty steep at edge rusher too. So you're kind of looking at a team that is kind of boom or bust either way. So for Titans fans, I think Alt would be the hope there. Any final or any other sneaky needs potentially for the Titans that you think that they could address early?
I think safety is a position after everything with Kevin Byard is done.
Yep.
After at least last I checked, they had not brought back Terrell Edmonds. They could use a little bit more depth at safety. I know when you look at their signings, L'Jarius Sneed and Chidobe Awuzie, corner's not quite as big of a need. But one guy that I honestly think, and I mocked him to the Titans in mock 2.0 at the top of the second round, was Ennis Rakestraw Jr. from Missouri, a guy who most people are projecting as corner, but a guy in this who I could almost see being a hybrid type corner slash high safety that can play the nickel, that can play outside, kind of do a little bit of everything. I think he could be a good fit to kind of glue all these pieces together, these newly acquired pieces in Tennessee together. Ennis Rakestraw is an interesting name there. We talked about Bullard earlier in the show as a guy who could be there. Cole Bishop. One guy that I think could fill their need as a guy who can come downhill is Malik Mustafa from Wake Forest, a guy who's trending up on draft boards. I really like him. I think he's a solid athlete across the board, but a guy who I think is probably going to be off the board by the latest fourth round. I think he could go late day two. I have a third round grade on him right now, and I think that would be a great landing spot for him in Tennessee. I'm not sure if or when Tennessee picks in the third round. I'm not sure they have a third round pick, at least that I'm seeing right off now as I'm just skimming through the list of picks. But they could always make that happen, moving up or down. He would be an ideal target, I think, be a really good fit for their defense, a guy who could bring some physicality downhill.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. This is a team that will ride or die with Will Levis in 2024. And then you might have to start thinking about quarterback after the season. But for now, it's about adding pieces around him to help make him as successful as possible. And what better way to do that than go out and get a left tackle that can be a day one starter for you and a guy maybe to lock down that spot for the long term for the Titans, who have struggled up front for a long time. Hey, Andrew, that's going to do it for us on this edition of the FFS and NFL Draft Preview Show. That was our deep dive of the AFC South draft needs. We'll be back later on this week with another episode here doing our NFC South draft deep dive. We'll see you then here on the FFSN NFL Draft.